Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Today we're going to study 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23 again. In our last lesson, we started on intercessory prayer, and we need to continue because, as we said during that lesson, it's obvious that we could preach on the subject for many, many days. At least we should preach on the subject one more. So today, in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, we see this: "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way." Now Israel had asked Samuel to pray for them, and when he did, he said, "I will." And he said, "God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." Intercessory prayer is simply you praying for somebody else. And you're simply following the pattern of the Godhead. The Spirit of God intercedes for us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Jesus Christ intercedes for us in Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Jesus Christ intercedes for the lost in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. And then we're told to intercede for others in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And we find that this practice is good and acceptable with God. Now, in the last lesson, we covered some of the things for which you and I could intercede on behalf of another person, and we'll cover some more today. Just recognize that Samuel thought the prayer that he could offer on behalf of Israel was so important that not doing it was a sin. Now, notice, when you think of intercessory prayer and you think about praying for others, immediately you start thinking about praying for their very specific prayer requests. So-and-so needs a better job. So-and-so needs help with the kids. So-and-so needs help with the mortgage. So-and-so needs wisdom about a job. So-and-so needs a job. And on you can think of the many, many things that people ask you to pray for. And I'll tell you something. All of those are fabulous prayer requests. When somebody says, "I've got a lost family member, please pray for them," you should. And somebody says to you, "I've got a sick relative, please pray for him or her," you should. Sometimes it's hard to know how to pray. Sometimes you say, "Well, do we pray that this sick relative lives and gets healed? Or do we pray that they go on to be with the Lord?" You know, and it's really hard sometimes to discern the Lord's will in those matters. We'll talk about those things today, but let's go and look at a prayer request for others that you don't typically think to pray. We'll look at it in Colossians chapter 1, and we'll look at it in Ephesians chapter 1. They are similar, but yet different. And these are very spiritual prayer requests, and these are prayers that are oftentimes neglected when we pray for others. Now, Paul gave us an example here. This is what he was praying for these churches and the people in these churches. And so we can follow this pattern for sure. Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 9. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be..." All right, now here's the prayer request. Number one, "filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." That is a tremendous prayer request. You know, when you're dealing with young people, I'm talking about college age, young career men and women, this is a tremendous prayer to pray for them. They may say, "Please pray for my job. Please pray for my coworker. Please pray for my studies. You know, please pray for my exams," and so forth and so on. Those are good prayer requests. This is better. "Pray that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Listen, if a child is in college and God desires that that child go to the mission field, or desires that that child preaches, maybe what they're studying in college is not what God wants them to learn. Maybe they ought to be in a Bible college. Maybe they ought to be in an intensive training program or actually working in some ministry capacity underneath a pastor of a local church or with a missionary on a foreign field. I remember distinctly two girls, three now that come to mind, that were in college. When we began to pray and they began to pray that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And all three of them took a different path. One of them was in a college where she was studying music and wanted to know the will of God. It became clear to her that he wanted her to finish her music studies. And so she finished her bachelor's. She finished her master's. And after that much education, you would have thought she was sick of school. Then she went to Bible college and studied the Bible for 3 years. While there, met a young man who was a missionary who is now in Europe and married him. And they are in Europe and he is a missionary and has got a church going and training some young men. And, you know, a fabulous thing. But wow, what a turn, you know. 4 years of regular college and 2 or 3 years of postgraduate study and 3 years of Bible college and then marriage and then on to the mission field. What a fabulous thing. Of course, her music is a great asset to her husband and to their family on the field. Another young lady was in college and took off some time and went down to the mission field and worked with a missionary for a year. And while there, really had a burden about the ministry, came back, finished up her undergraduate degree in college, then went to Bible college for 3 years. While there, met a fellow who became the pastor of a church, and they are together now. He is pastoring a church here in the United States of America, raising their family, and, you know, just God's will. He had another young lady who was in college and had some real concerns about the direction of her life in college, actually stopped her studies in college and enrolled in Bible college. While there, met her future husband, and now they are serving the Lord in the capacity of youth pastor. He is a youth pastor, and she's helping him in a ministry here in the United States of America. You know what? Every one of those did it just a little bit differently. One took off some time to work on the mission field for a year. One finished postgraduate studies. All three of them went to Bible college, all of them married ministers, all of them are faithfully serving the Lord Jesus Christ and raising their families in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So how do you know to do that? Well, you've got to be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Had another young man surrendered his life to do everything and anything that God wanted him to do and really felt like it might be involving full-time ministry. He's not. He's in full-time business. But he's very helpful in the ministry in many capacities and has had many opportunities to teach and to preach. But that was God's will for his life. Listen, you've got to have the knowledge of his will, and you have to have it in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, not just wisdom and understanding, because men have wisdom and understanding in many capacities and might lead you into something that makes perfect sense, but is it perfect spiritual sense? Is it really the middle of God's will? Notice in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, not only did he pray for them to be filled with the knowledge of his will, but also he prayed that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. What a tremendous prayer request here. Do you know, to walk worthy of the Lord is a very difficult thing. And when I say that, it's not difficult for the Lord because he did it. It's difficult for us because there are so many complications to walking worthy of the Lord. For one thing, it would mean a life yielded completely to him so that he could freely and absolutely live his life in you however he chose. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. If you're a Christian, Jesus Christ is in your life, and he spends his entire time in there trying to live his life in you. Some people say, I want to conform my lifestyle to the lifestyle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Forget that. You cannot do it. You didn't do well with that before you got saved. You're not going to do well with that after you get saved. What you need to do, according to Romans 6, 7, and 8, is yield to the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in you, yield to His righteousness, and allow Him to live His life through you. Then you'll walk worthy of the Lord. And listen, He says, unto all pleasing. Jesus Christ said to the Pharisees, He says, I do always those things that please Him. Wow. You cannot say that. That's not your testimony. That's your desire, but that's not your testimony. And it's a fabulous testimony. Unto all pleasing. Do you know, according to Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, the reason that we were left here is to please God? Enoch is our type if Jesus Christ returns in our lifetime. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6, you know what testimony Enoch had before his translation? He had this testimony, what? That he pleased God. Wow. The first and foremost thing that you and I should be concerned with in our daily lives is that we should be concerned with pleasing God. When I sign young men's Bibles, if I'm preaching a meeting somewhere and they come up and say, Pastor Welder, would you sign my Bible? I always sign it, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6, because we're a society that needs faith. And that's in verse 6. Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? That's verse 6. Then in verse 5, he says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Are you pleasing him? You see, that's an excellent prayer to pray for somebody. And he goes on and says, when you please him, that you'll be fruitful in every good work. Oh my, there are many good things that we do for the Lord. And I like to do good things for the Lord. But may I tell you something? His desire is that those good things we do for him bring forth fruit. That's how God is glorified. And that we increase in the knowledge of God. I was just telling our daughter today, when we had a chance to visit with her, one of our daughters, that I've been serving the Lord faithfully now for, 26 years? 26 years. And in that period of time, I have grown regularly. I mean, you'd see that path. But I told her, I said, you know, in the last 2 years, I think I have grown in some spiritual areas in my life more than I have during any other two-year period since I've been serving the Lord faithfully. You say, what does that mean? It means that I am increasing in the knowledge of God. You know, in other words, you'll never know all there is to know about God. You'll never know everything about His personality, everything about His presence, everything about His glory, everything about His Word, everything about His presence and His very being. You'll never know it all, not until you get there face to face with Him. And you will then only know as much as He reveals to you. But I'm going to tell you something. He wants us to know Him, and He wants us to know Him well. And in this life, you will pursue that objective all of your life, and that's what keeps this Christian life adventurous and wonderful. Another thing that Paul prayed for the Colossians in Colossians chapter 1 is that he said in verse 11 that you would be strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now, that takes strength to be patient, and strength to be long-suffering with joyfulness. Oh, it takes an incredible amount of spiritual strength to do that. And so he says, I want you to be strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. In other words, the Lord is not interested in how strong you are personally. I mean, He taketh no pleasure in the legs of a man, the Bible says. He is not interested that you are a strong man, you know, and young men glory in their strength. Okay, old men, we don't glory in our strength. We're beyond that now, so we take glory in the gray head, assuming that that gray head is accompanied by wisdom. All right, well, here, Paul says, I want you to be strong, and I want you to be strong with all might. And do you know today in society, people worship strong men? Oh, they have all kinds of strong men contests and fighting contests and football athletic type contests and hockey matches and things like that. And you're looking for a guy who's really strong that can, you know, manhandle the other fella. They even have women that are in bodybuilding and strengthening contests, and everybody's all interested in that. And God says, I'm not interested in those things. I'm not interested in your physical strength, but I am interested in your spiritual strength. And so I want you to be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. So, you know, a thing that you can pray for people, young people, old people, people that you know that for whom you pray, you can pray this prayer. That I want you to be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. For what purpose? So you can just show off your spiritual strength? No, so you can be patient. You know what? It takes a tremendous amount of patience when ministering to people, waiting for them as you pray to come around to receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior, waiting for them as you pray to recognize that the way they're living is wrong, waiting as you pray for them to recognize that the power is in God, not in themselves, patience as you wait for them to get over themselves and get on with God so that you two can start ministering together, and all the other reasons that you need to be patient. And long-suffering with joyfulness. Oh, that's so hard to do. You know, you think about your own children, I think about mine, and we think about where they are spiritually and where they should be, and we pray for them. And you know, you suffer with that, and it takes a long time. And it's hard to be joyful in anticipation and hope that God is going to eventually win out and turn their lives around. And he says, you know what? You can, by the strength of God, with his might and glorious power, you can handle that. You know, another good prayer is not only to pray for the knowledge of his will and for the knowledge of God, but also, and for the strength with his might, but also, Paul said, I'm giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You know what he's saying here? You can thank God for them. Thank God unto the Father, which made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Do you know something? The more they find God's will, listen, the more they find God's will, the more they walk worthy of the Lord to his pleasing and increase in the knowledge of God and operate by his strength and glorious power, listen, the more they are going to inherit in light at the judgment seat of Christ. And you can see them building that inheritance now. We just finished a missions conference. I love missions conferences. And we had men of all ages that are out serving the Lord faithfully on their fields. And you know what we heard about? We heard about their inheritance this week. And by that I mean we're seeing where souls are being saved and churches are being built and men are being called into the ministry and lives are changing and people are growing and God is being glorified and the Word of God is being preached and tracts are being passed out in fields where they had no gospel witness, or certainly not one like they have now. And when you see those kinds of things going on, you realize, hey, wait a minute, something glorious is happening here. I am looking at a man and his family building an inheritance with the Lord God at the judgment seat of Christ. Because everything that's being done is a testimony to God's work through them and his lasting fruitfulness in the lives that are being changed and saved and reproducing. And I'll tell you what, that is a cause for thanksgiving. I'll tell you something else that Paul prayed, that you can pray, spiritual intercessory prayer. I mean, listen, I realize, and so do you, that when a person's in the hospital, you ought to be praying for them. When they're struggling with a test, you ought to be praying for them. When they are injured and weak and in poor health, you ought to be praying for them. James chapter 5 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, and the context of that is healing. You ought to be praying for God to grant them grace, because that grace will give them the ability and strength to handle anything that comes their way joyfully. You ought to be praying for their comfort, for their strength, and I'm now talking about the physical capacity to be able to handle the things that have come their way, and pray for their testimony. Now, I've got a friend of mine right now that is really struggling with his health, and I'm telling you, based on what the doctors report, he will be making funeral arrangements soon if God doesn't do something. And he's not frustrated by that, and he's not discouraged by that. That just happens to be the reality of his medical condition. And you know one of the things he asked me to pray for? He said, pray for my testimony. because I've had a number of people call me, he says, that have been encouraged by the way that I've been able to handle this disease in my body. And they say, you know, you have encouraged us because we deal with physical ailments and other kinds of health issues, and we're watching you go through this, and when you go through it the way you do, it tells us that we can go through it better than we have done, and we've been encouraged. He said, I don't want to go through this thing and have a bad complaining day and then, you know, give people cause to say, you know what, it doesn't work. I'm not going to keep a good testimony for the Lord and start ranting and raving about their sicknesses and illnesses. What a tremendous request. And see, all these things that I've mentioned are excellent prayer requests. They're also very practical, but when you go to Ephesians chapter 1, you see some more spiritual requests just like you saw in Colossians chapter 1. And these are very important. Look in verse 17. Notice 16 is the context. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, what's he asking for? Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Well, here we're seeing the knowledge of him again, but look, when he says the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, you see something here that's interesting. And it relates specifically to the Word of God, as it may relate to other things as well. That spirit of wisdom and revelation affects your Bible reading. You don't know how many Christians have contacted me and said, you know what, I read my Bible, but I don't get anything out of it. I don't understand it. You know what the problem is? They do not have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. They know Jesus Christ and they know they're saved, but they don't have these other things. You say, well, how are they going to get those? Pray for them, brethren. Pray for them. I realize that teaching people the Bible is one way that they learn it, and it's a very important way. But may I say something? They can learn it wrongly just as well as they can learn it properly. Listen, if I'm teaching somebody Bible and they don't have the Spirit of God to teach them and confirm the witness of the truth of what they've been told by the Scripture from the preacher, they can be misled. Every false doctrine, nearly, that's out there, uses the Bible as a basis to back it up. Those false doctrines were created by men who took things out of context in Scripture, moved things around according to their dispensations in Scripture, and came up teaching a lie. And they're using the Bible to teach that lie. And if you don't have the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, you'll be led to follow that lie. Do you understand? It is an excellent prayer to pray for others that God would give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him so that they would not only know him but know the truth of the Scripture about him and have an understanding. And he goes on to express that understanding. In verse 18 he says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. And so he's got a semicolon after that. That's it. Every time I read the Bible, I say, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. That's Psalm 119, verse 18. It's not original with me. God wrote it. A preacher mentioned it to me in his preaching, and I said, I'm going to do that. And so when I pray, before I read, I say, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And then he goes on to say, the entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. So if their eyes are opened, they will be enlightened and they will understand the Scripture. The other day during the mission conference, we had somebody preaching. Boy, I was excited by his preaching, and he chose a text, and a part of that text really began to grip me, and I was looking at that and I'm thinking, you know what, I've taught that text, I've read that text many, many times, I've even thought about that text on numerous occasions, I still don't know if I understand it right. And so right there I said, Lord, I know in the next few weeks I'll be looking at this verse from time to time, and I beg you please to give me an understanding. Open my eyes to what you said in this verse. Why is it located here? Right now if you ask me, well, what verse is it? I could tell you some things that are true about the verse, and you'd go, wow, that's neat, that's good. But there's something else in there. There's something else in there. My spirit has been arrested by that. There's something in there to know that verse is where it's located in the chapter where it can be found, because God has something very special for that verse to say. And you know what? I ain't got it yet. But you know what I'm praying? That my eyes will be enlightened. The eyes of my understanding will be enlightened so I can get it. And he goes on to say in verse 18, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We've just talked about that. You want to know the hope of his calling, that's not only, hey, what is the will of God for your life, but what's the outcome? What's the hope of the thing? Listen, if somebody said the will of your life, the will of God for your life is to dig that ditch. You know what? You go, well, bless God. God told me to do it. I'm going to go in there and dig that ditch. And after about, you know, a month of that, if you would last that long, you'd be going, you know what? I'm so discouraged. I don't have any idea why I'm doing this. God said, go in there and dig that ditch. And I'm digging and I'm digging and I'm digging and I'm getting frustrated. I want to quit. There's nothing in this. You know what the problem is? The guy doesn't know why he's digging the ditch. He has no hope of his calling. But if he had a hope of his calling, he might be able to go on and dig that ditch when he realizes that it will be an aqueduct to bring much needed water to a city that will be without water if that aqueduct is not built. And suddenly he works not only to get the job done, but works with a renewed vigor and fervor because, hey, there's a purpose in this that's great. And then if he knows the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, then you know something? He's saying, man, not only that, but there's a great payday down the road. I may not get paid here, but I'll get paid down there. And then he goes on to say, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. And that's what he wants you to know, is the same power that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead in verse 20 is the power that's is operable in you right now so that you can get anything done that God wants you to do. That's why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Because it's not your power, it's his power. And it's exceeding, and it's great, and it got Jesus Christ out of the grave, and it'll get you through anything that God asks you to do. Now, you know something? When you're interceding for people, if you will intercede according to Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, and Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 and 19, you'll be a fabulous help to them, my friend, and I pray that you will.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible.
Hallelujah.